You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Every now and then you bring home something that changes your life. A young couple brings home a baby from the hospital. What a great day. What a profound change. You bring home the news of a promotion, or a layoff, or an early enforced retirement. You bring home grades from school. Perhaps good grades, perhaps bad grades. Every now and then we all bring something home that changes our life. Today should be one of those days. The story of Easter, Jesus Christ was dead but now lives, can produce a lasting change in your life. Many of us desperately need such a change. So many Christians who know the story of the resurrection have no joy in their daily life. So many who worship this Easter Sunday will be grumbling about their problems before the week is out. So many Christians are resentful, suspicious, bitter. So many are anxious, so worried that they can't think straight. It wouldn't surprise me at all if you are among these people who have heard the resurrection facts, but not yet brought home Easter's real story. It was like that, too, for the Emmaus disciples. Their story is found in Luke 24. On Easter morning, these two disciples were in Jerusalem. There they heard puzzling reports. Some women had gone to the tomb where Jesus had been buried on Friday. They reported that the body was not there. Instead of a body, they had seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Well, the two men, one was named Cleopas, the other's name we don't know, these two men didn't know what to make of it. So in the early afternoon, they went home. Home was in the village of Emmaus, about 7 miles north of Jerusalem. As they walked, they were joined on the road by a stranger. We know that stranger was Jesus, resurrected and very much alive, but they didn't see that. Their conversation with the stranger shows how much they are like so many people today. They knew a lot of religious facts, these two did, but they weren't going home with the joy of Easter. Israel at that time was under the rule of the Roman Empire, and these disciples had hoped that Jesus would liberate their land. Here is where we get down to the real problem. Today there are many people, like those Emmaus disciples, who interpret religious facts according to their own personal goals. How many people suppose that their marriages will improve because they go to church a time or two? How many parents think that their children will behave better because they force them to go to Sunday school? How many people invoke the name of Jesus to pursue their own political, social, or economic agendas? Here's where we get right down to it. If you are interpreting biblical truths to fit your own goals in life, you're going to bring home the same sad outlook on life that those Emmaus disciples had. In fact, it's more than sad. The word that is translated as sad in Luke 24 suggests a gloomy, even a sullen look. That sad, gloomy, sullen look is what you'll always bring home whenever you use Jesus and religion to fulfill your own self-centered hopes. Who wants to come home that way? Who wants to miss the joy of Easter? We set out in this message to bring Easter home, to bring home not just the facts of Jesus' resurrection, but to let those facts, properly interpreted, produce a profound change in our lives. To do that, let's lay aside our own thoughts and take a look at the proper study of Scripture that Jesus gave those sad and sullen disciples. Jesus started by showing from Scripture that the Messiah must suffer. The Emmaus disciples had thought that the crucifixion of Jesus was the bitter end to their own hopes for Israel. "Ah," Jesus begins, "how unthinking you are. The Messiah had to suffer. How can God give glory to a humanity that selfishly seeks its own glory? How can a holy God bestow eternal life on men, women, and children who have chosen sin and death? How can a totally just God forgive sin?" The answer isn't found in what we sinners think we need. The answer isn't found in our own personal, family, economic, or political agenda. God's far greater than our little programs. Jesus drew from Scripture the lesson that the Christ, the Messiah, must suffer. That suffering and death is God's plan for giving us His meaningful life. Jesus showed the Emmaus disciples that that is the key to a proper understanding of the Bible. Jesus had to die for our sins, for yours and for mine. On the cross, He endured divine punishment for all those times you and I have gone our own way instead of delighting in our Father's commands. All those times at home when things are on edge, husband and wife afraid to speak for fear it will only make things worse. Parents and children dismissing each other as hopeless cases. People who live alone, unhappy with themselves and unhappy with their lot in life. All the times when we mope around the house, gloomy and sullen, because we're interpreting everything by our own desires. All these and all other sins were paid for by Jesus at the cross. Jesus said, "Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and enter into His glory?" Now we've come to the great joy of this Easter day, and now we've come to the assurance that we really can bring home forgiveness, joy, hope, and life. For the resurrection of Jesus Christ signals that God the Father has accepted His Son's sacrifice for your sins. The Father's acceptance of Jesus' sacrifice can be illustrated by a common example from our home, and maybe from yours too. When our children want to go out, we often say, "First, you have to clean your room." After a few quick minutes, they call us in to inspect their room. "Is this okay?" And usually the answer is, "No, not yet." Well, so it goes until Diane or I will eventually say, "I'm satisfied, now you can go." Today the great question is Jesus' suffering sufficient for the Heavenly Father to forgive our sins? Every man, woman, and child who ever lived or ever will live hangs between eternal life and death on the answer to that question. Is Jesus' death on the cross sufficient? Today we hear the Father's answer, "Yes." Easter is a great announcement of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God to you. By raising His Son from the dead, God tells you and me that the dominion of sin and death is ended. St. Paul says that Christ was delivered over to death for our sins and raised to life for our justification. This interpretation of Easter's new life is received into our hearts and home through faith. "How unthinking you are," Jesus said, "and how slow you are in your heart to believe everything the prophet said." Some years ago, I was teaching a class for adults interested in joining our church. Several weeks into the class, a lady asked, "What's this thing that you're always talking about?" "What thing?" I said. "Faith," she asked. "What is faith?" She asked a great question. Faith is like a hand that reaches out and clings to God's wonderful promises in Christ and the Scriptures. Faith is that hand by which God's Spirit opens the door of your heart to bring home the living Christ. We don't need to see Jesus with our eyes. The Emmaus disciples did see him, but only briefly. After the resurrection, Christ appeared briefly here and there to accustom his church to a life of faith, not a life of sight. To be sure, we will see him face to face in heaven when we are resurrected like our Christ to eternal and heavenly joy. But that's in the future. Now we have the Scriptures, which are all about the suffering and glorification of Christ. The Scriptures are sufficient. They invite us to believe. When Jesus and the disciples reached the home in Emmaus, he pretended to go farther. But the disciples, their hearts now kindled to faith, constrained him to stay with them. "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." Today, faith still bids Christ to abide in our hearts and home. Abide in my heart, O Christ, and tell me again and again that your death and resurrection have forgiven all my sin. Abide in our home, O Christ, and help us to look beyond ourselves and to you, to deny our lives and follow you alone. Abide in our thoughts, O Christ, that the worrisome and anxious matters of daily life will constantly give way to the sweet and reassuring thoughts of Scripture. Abide in our words, O Christ, that we, like the Emmaus disciples, will tell others the real meaning of this day. Abide in our steps, O Christ, that we who have walked and talked with you today will be swift to do good to others. Faith. Faith comes from a Christ-centered reading of the Bible. It is the hand this Easter day that bids Christ abide with us. A favorite hymn of many Christians says, "Behold a stranger at the door, he gently knocks, has knocked before." We know who that stranger is. He is our living Savior. Let the heavenly stranger in. Let his reign begin. Admit him. Open wide the door. He will bless you evermore. Amen.